Support comes from Red Stag Supper Club, featuring weekly live music and a late-night happy hour, serving brunch, lunch, dinner, and late night 7 days a week, focusing on locally farmed ingredients. RedStagSupperClub.com.
When I see my baby.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, Poetry in Motion.
Motion. Poetry in motion.
William Wordsworth defined poetry as the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. This week, we're talking with a poet who is so moved by grammar that he wrote a poem about it. Steve Cowett is a professor of language and literature at Southwestern College in Chula Vista, California. Cowett joins us by telephone today. Welcome to Grammar Grader, Steve.
My pleasure.
Could we begin with a reading of your poem, The Grammar Lesson?
Certainly. A noun's a thing. A verb's the thing it does. An adjective is what describes the noun. In The Can of Beets is Filled with Purple Fuzz, of and with are prepositions. Thus, an article. A can's a noun. A noun's a thing. A verb's the thing it does. A can roll or not. What isn't, was or might be. Might, meaning not yet known. Our can of beets is filled with purple fuzz, is present tense. While words like our and us are pronouns, i.e., it is moldy, they are icky brown. A noun's a thing. A verb's the thing it does. Is a helping verb. It helps because filled isn't a full verb. Can's what our owns in our can of beets is filled with purple fuzz. See, there's almost nothing to it. Just memorize these rules or write them down. A noun's a thing. A verb's the thing it does. The can of beets is filled with purple fuzz.
That was The Grammar Lesson by Steve Cowett. This is a poem about the parts of speech. That's not typical poetry fare. Steve, what inspired you to write this poem?
About 15 or 16 years ago, a dear friend of mine who had been a student of mine, a poetry student of mine, and who had since become a well-known poet because of her first marvelous book, a woman named Dorianne Lox, called me from the Bay Area, and she said that she was applying for a job to teach poetry at the MFA level at the University of Oregon, Eugene. And she was terrified that the interviewers were going to ask her a question about grammar, and she was going to be humiliated by showing them that she didn't know anything about grammar. And she asked me as a favor to send her a grammar book. And I laughed, and I said, "Dor, they're not going to ask you any question about grammar. They want you to teach poetry to MFA students." But she couldn't be convinced, of course. Paranoia is of that nature. And we finished the conversation, and I realized that I was not going to send her a grammar book because it would just terrify her even further. Nothing is more terrorizing than a grammar book to people who don't know much about grammar because you can't understand any of it. It's all written in a technical language. And so instead, I sat down and wrote her this villanelle, The Grammar Lesson, and I simply sent her this poem and a little note. And a couple of weeks later, of course, I got a call from her, a jubilant call that she had gotten the job. And in fact, she taught there for many years, just left this last year. And, it was the last Dorianne and I ever discussed the question of grammar.
What else can you tell us about the poem?
Well, it's a villanelle, and I'll tell you...
What's a villanelle?
A villanelle is a very complex form. It's a 19-line poem in which you have two refrains. The first line is repeated a few times, and the third line is repeated a few times, and they form the final couplet. It's based on only two rhymes, so it's a very strict form. The first line and the second line are the basic rhyme words. And anyone interested can go online, find Dylan Thomas's Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, or Elizabeth Bishop's marvelous villanelle, One Art, and see what a villanelle looks like. It's a a charming form that, for some reason, contemporary poets tend to like. I like it for comic poetry, but I've also used it for serious political poetry, too.
It really seems a challenging form. It's almost like the villanelle is the sonnet's evil cousin.
It is. That's marvelous. Thank you. It is indeed the sonnet's evil cousin, but it has a real charm. And there are several wonderful models in the American canon. Lots of poets have written good villanelles.
Do you use this poem in your classroom?
No, I haven't. I read it sometimes when I'm giving a poetry reading, especially to students, because they really appreciate it. They know the dreary horrors of learning or pretending to learn English grammar and the difficulty of it. And, of course, grammar in teaching these days is a problematic issue. My school, we've decided, for example, not to teach grammar. We teach composition and grammar as part of teaching people how to write. And those are the kinds of issues that I think teachers of English are dealing with around the country. What is the role of teaching grammar that is most useful for students?
It sounds like a Trojan horse approach to teaching grammar.
Yes, yes. And my poem is, in fact, just that kind of silliness. It's about the absurd complexity of grammar under the pretense that it's all very simple.
To what degree do you think the rules of grammar should apply to poetry?
Of course, good usage, the best English-American usage, is mandatory for any serious writing, for any good writing. That doesn't mean you can't write in the lowest, slangiest diction, but it seems to me you have to know what good writing is, what a good, graceful, well-made English sentence is, and the better equipped you are in that area, the more likely you are to write material that is graceful to the reader's ear. So knowing the language well is the task of any decent writer.
What motivated you to write about the can of purple fuzz?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that that line, the silliness, the sheer silliness of that line is very useful in the poem, because the poem is this pseudo-serious abstract grammar lesson, and every now and then there's that goofy little line about the can of beets filled with purple fuzz. And of course, we've all seen that. We've all had that experience. We've all gone to the refrigerator and, you know, looked in a can we had opened 8 days ago and, to our horror, seen that it was filled with mold. And that line somehow is a nice comic relief to the pretense of high seriousness of the rest of this comic poem.
Well, it's truly a delightful poem. Thanks so much for joining us today, Steve.
Thanks a million for talking to me. I have definitely enjoyed it.
Steve Cowett's poem, The Grammar Lesson, can be found in the book The First Noble Truth, which is published by University of Tampa Press and can be found at publicradiomarket.org. Special thanks to Larissa Anderson, poetry producer for the Poetry Radio Project, a collaboration between the Poetry Foundation and American Public Media. Grammar Grader's producer is Brett Baldwin. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoy Grammar Grader, consider supporting it by becoming a member at minnesotapublicradio.org.